In the study we were doing about preparing for Passover, there's a statement that's, as we've talked about yesterday, there's the statement that is just about unbelievable to us. And you can rationalize it and spiritualize it and do everything you can, but fundamentally it's unbelievable. And that is, it's all over the New Testament or in the Gospels, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now, this one really got to me because, remember, my commitment to myself was if I could find something wrong with the Bible, I was going to throw the whole thing out. I was just about ready to throw the whole thing out. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. And while I was really struggling with this is when I was in, we were about to get Channel 39 here. And I did that. I said we need Channel 39 because, and so what happened, and we had all this stuff going on, and they made a presentation to the Doubleday Board of Directors, and they agreed. It was our attorney, John Plath Green's idea. I mean, I didn't think this up, but they could make more money by donating the station, Channel 39, to us than they could by running it. That's how I'm thinking. And this stuff works. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you. And we went up and made the presentation to the board, and they approved it. And this is unbelievable. Whatsoever I say. I got to be careful what I say. And so, you know, on and on and on. Well, then, of course, Pat Robertson entered the picture, and
he said it better.
I told Pat that he had just knocked us out. He bought Channel 33 for $25,000 because of this huge scandal, and it was owned by somebody else, and on and on. And so I called him, and I told him that we were going to get Channel 39, but we weren't going to be in competition with him, because what we were going to do is do the meet and eat thing during the night, the daytime program. We'd arranged to sell to the Dallas Independent School District and to the Dallas Community College District and to SMU, and so it was going to be daytime SMU all-night movies with just meet and eat is the idea. Well, I'll be damned if about 2.5 weeks later I get a call from Doubleday, and they said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Anthony, we've changed our mind. We're giving the station to Pat Robertson." Now I was really ready to throw everything out.
I forgot that they were just going to give it to one of the other guys.
But they gave it to him because he lied on, and I can prove it. I've got the documents. He overstated his financial statement by about $800,000. Anyway, that's another story. So this one was troubling me. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven.
You hadn't come to terms with all this,
though. No, I did. I would come to terms. I was ready. I had made this commitment that I was going to throw everything away. You know, the first, I won't go into all of them tonight, but there were many of them that I saw, that if I thought I saw a contradiction, or if I saw something that didn't make sense, or if a promise was made that wasn't manifest, I risked everything, every minute. Now, so here we are. Whatsoever we say, I'd said it. It was just about in our grip. And then it fell apart. So what's this? What's going on here, God? Long story short, this is when I first discovered this thing about pillars. And this would have been in late 72, early 73. Because what I determined was that scriptures we read yesterday, that and in the idea about union, that his prayer for us was that we would be one as he and the Father are one. And then I could understand what whatsoever you say means. And then, what happens when I say something? Well, what happens is instantaneously another operation comes into play. And it's called mind talk. And that mind talk is incessant, if you let it be, as some of you know a great deal about. Normal speech is about 110 to 120 words a minute. It's maybe as high as 150 words a minute. The average mind talk is 1,300 words a minute. And so something's going on here. And that's when I begin to understand the temple. And the whole idea of that this is the temple. It says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we are the temple, then that temple over in Jerusalem must mean something. And then I read Hezekiah, and then I saw the whole thing made sense then. But I was afraid to talk about it because it was so unbelievable. And then I saw the thing in Romans. It said, where Paul said, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. Now that started to make sense. Because remember, anybody I'm hearing around, when I go to churches and read stuff, I find commentaries and stuff, everything I'm hearing doesn't tell me anything about what I experienced about the cross. I got enthusiastic for a minute about the charismatic movement because they were saying whatsoever you say, but then they started using sorcery to get it. And so this, I just wanted you to understand what I went through as a new believer to come to find out what it is we're talking about. And that was all the introduction to the evil of mind talk. And so then I started paying attention to mind talk. Before, I just sort of either agreed with it or discarded it, as everybody does. Your mind tells you all kinds of crap. And then I found out, and this took a long time, long months, that there was nothing that my mind told me that was ever correct. And it never, ever, well, this is shocking to me, because I was one who, my life had been based on one rule. Rules are for when brains run out. And I was rewarded by that in the work that I was doing. That's because that's the kind of people I want. And so all of a sudden, in careful analysis of my own mind talk, I found out that it was crap. It was just air. Then I started listening and talking, and I read James Joyce's Ulysses, and I really found out mind talk was crap. This is how I was spending my days back then, when we didn't get Channel 39 anything to do. So it was a very thorough, analysis to show me that my mind talk was all vain, futile, empty, and all my ideas were idiotic. And I started thinking about all my ideas. Am I going to be president, and I'm going to take this step, and then I'm going to get rich, and then I'm going to do it. And I started thinking, if I'd have gotten all that stuff, I'd have never wanted it anyway. And so it's this thing, this mystery of the Antichrist, and the instead of Christ being my mind, or every man's mind, and not somebody over and, became meat to me. I was still afraid to talk about it because no one else said anything about it. And finally I said, screw it, I'm going to talk about it anyway. But I want you to hear that we didn't come to this thing about pillars. It happened because I promise you, if you do a word study on pillars in the Old Testament or in the Bible, you find it everywhere. Like you hear the word grove, what does that mean? Well, do a word study, it's all over the place. But just because we don't hear about it, we don't think it's there. So now back to mind talk. Mind talk is the fundamental thing that stops you from being in this position of whatever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. And so mind talk is the evidence of the pillars. Because mind talk is the talk that is constantly convincing you that you are like God. You sit around and judge for yourself good and evil. You come up and you can project yourself way in the future and you can go way in the past and you have all kinds of fantasies and you can live there. It's just crazy. Because the life and death proves the craziness of it. Because you have all these great ideas and fantasies and thoughts and then you die. Now, anybody have any response to any of this?
I think the say part of it is, I think, related to the mind talking, that even though the words of your mind may pass through your lips, they're still whatever you think is the same as your words. So one minute you might say one thing and then your mind says 10 other things. So how's God going to do anything? You're just scattered all over the house.
Right, because the fundamental thing about mind talk is that it causes you to have to choose between options.
That's a perfect example.
You've been talking all this time without your microphone?
No. I just took my sweater. So what mind talk does, because there's so many competing voices up there, it causes you to choose between one of those options, right? Well, then I read what happened to Israel in the wilderness. As long as they were in the world, they could do that. They were guided by all of this, and they all tried to get to the best of Egypt, the land of Goshen. They all tried to do the best they could. But the real purpose of the plagues was to shut up the mind talk and shut up everything else. So when they got into the wilderness and they dedicated the whole mystery, then what happened? Then they were guided by the pillar of cloud in the daytime and the pillar of fire at night. What does that mean? What is a cloud? Even in our comic book theology, we know what a cloud is. A cloud is when something comes down and things aren't clear. So it's a doubt. It's more than one option. So that made sense. As long as I had more than one option, then I wasn't, and I chose one of them, then I read Isaiah 14. Then I was rising above the cloud, just like Satan did. So if there was more than one option, I did nothing. I waited until there was no option. Is there something really interesting out there, guys? Anyhow.
It seems like this is about knowing, if you know who you are, that union position you're talking about, then what you speak, he will do for you is because you're not even there. I mean, you're identifying yourself.
I know, but that spiritualizes it too much. I mean, that's what I came to, but then I could say, every time I don't get something that I say, that means that something else, you know, I use a lack of an answer to get an answer. You understand? That's not pulling everything to the test. It's not taking it to the end. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I forgot what you said.
All right.
Using an answer to get an answer.
No, using the lack of an answer to haven't to be an answer. That's not good enough. For me, I had to know with a certainty that the resurrection of Christ had occurred in me. Now, because if that wasn't true, then I could never repent. All I could do was say, I'm sorry. So I could never repent of mind talk. I just try to do better next time. Well, I'd tried to do better next time 60 jillion times when I was not a believer. And so I knew the futility of that. I mean, this may be hard for you to understand, but most of what I did for the first few years, even when I was teaching Bible study, most of what I did was nothing. It was waiting. And the internal battle was no less great. The internal battle was, and you know, some of you may remember, they recognize, but I had to see, because every few minutes, you know, the mind talk would pop up. You should be doing something. Or you got to do something, or this is going to happen. Or, and the mind talk loved to agree with people, because people were saying I was nuts. And this is what I was talking to Tom about yesterday. You've got to wait, because waiting is really the place of the most intense activity. But we don't know that because we've been so damn busy that we don't even know what the meaning of waiting is.
In that realm, we forget what the purpose of God is. We think it's always something. The
purpose of God is never to do anything.
But it's the forming of Christ in you. That doesn't happen while you're busy doing your stuff.
And so the whole idea, this is all, and it was necessary for me to go into all this, for you to understand how I came to understand that the mind talk was the evidence of the pillars. And so every time that you truly repent, when you see yourself hearing and listening to the mind, then that's that. It's like you've taken a bulldozer and knocked a tree down, or knocked a pillar down, until you can be in a place where there's silence in the temple. And so this is the spiritual warfare in high places. It's not about Democratic Party or the Republican Party or Israel or communists. The spiritual warfare that Paul is talking about is this very real war that you must engage with your instead of Christ or your mind, until you can come to the place with intellect, and I mean with integrity, with reality, to have silence in the temple instead of just playing some, you know, mental discipline game. You have silence in the temple because you know that everything but the mystery of Christ in you is crap. You know, people never believe me when I say I don't think, or probably they do. But in not the way that I'm not sitting around thinking about what to do about something, because I saw the stupidity of doing that. I saw the emptiness and futility of my own mind. The best that my mind can be is dung. You know, and that's why, you know, and I watch you guys, you're still worshipping your mind. You're worshipping it by giving it some kind of importance. Either, oh, this just come upon me and I can't do anything about it, or you got this great idea and you're silent little universe that you create with it, and as long as you're doing that, you cannot understand what I'm talking about with regard to pillars or mind talk or anything else. The cross will always be transformed by you into an instrument of your self-realization. And you will begin to think this place is special, or we are special, which is just horseshit. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I guess my constant mind talk, when I live in the moment, my mind says, you're lazy and irresponsible.
Well, in your case, that's true. No. No, that's what everybody's mind talk cousin, because the basis of the identity of the false self is doing. I mean, have you? I mean, it's been a long time for me, but I can remember. I mean, going to cocktail parties or going to bars, the first question anybody asks you is, "What do you do?" Even I don't care where you are in any kind of world situation, the first thing they ask you is, "What do you do?" I can't answer that question. I don't know about you. Because the basis of identity and worth is doing. And so it's endemic to the beast. The basis of the beast proving its worth is working it. Even working it, trying to get this stuff right. That's why I've told you from the beginning that if there's anything you hear me say that you can do, you've heard me wrong. And if there's anything you heard me say to tell you what to do, you've heard me wrong. My only purpose and the only purpose of preaching is to cause you to go deeper and deeper into the process of emptying. Now, whatever, because I promise you, if some issue arises later in the day, you're not going to empty about it. You're going to try to figure it out. Well, that's what this silent period was when I didn't do anything. When I taught Bible study once a week, the rest of the time was this incredible internal warfare.
I was thinking about this thing of people saying, "What do you do?" It's like the setup for helping me pass judgment so that I'll know whether to worship or disdain. Or how I can categorize you and dismiss you. So there's and socially, people cooperate. You know.
Oh, it's universal in every culture.
It's so fundamental.
Self-talk is really just a euphemism for your own private Idaho, your own private theology. And most of it is comic book based or song based or movie based. Rather than the Word of God based. All its self-talk is the name of your religion in you as the temple. And the priests of that religion are the Board of Governors, the Sanhedrin, the voices in your mind. And that's why it's so dangerous, because they control every other part of. They'll agree that Jesus is the Christ. They'll agree that, but they'll twist it. So they have to think about it. So they need your input.
Feedback.
So all that this self-talk is, it's your Bible, your theology. Now, some of you have really stupid theologies. You have a theology of failure. And so, if anything is going right, then your self-taught talk says, "I don't deserve this." And so you sabotage it in thousands of ways. And we've seen this constantly. And some of you have this self-taught that's just pure, it's Pollyanna personified. It's based solely on air and Ferris wheels and balloons, and it's a total Pollyanna self-taught that you live in. And some of you, your self-talk, is really evil.
I like that Ferris wheel analogy though, because sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, you're still in the amusement park.
Still in the game.
Thinking that if it's success, then you're right. And then if it's failure, you're a victim and you're still right. It's, establishing your own righteousness.
Do all of you, any of you remember who Eric Pryor was? Yeah. He is?
I was a black comedian.
No.
No, that's Richard Pryor.
Now he knew that was
the witch that Larry Lee
right.
converted.
Tall, gaunt, blonde.
Yeah. Well, I get a call.
Supposedly a witch.
I get a call last night from Dick Fisher.
Who?
Dick Fisher. And he called me and he said, "Do you know who Eric Pryor is?" I started laughing and I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I just got off. I spent the last 3 hours on the phone with this guy, and he really hates you."
Really? He has his own episode of God Stuff.
But what happened, I mean, here's a guy that for 3 hours he told, and I didn't even remember him at first, but for 3 hours he told Dick about how he's been a victim of everybody. I mean, just his failure justified his theology. And even blaming me, that's what's so funny. Now you're not that. I'm talking to only one of you here today, and I'm not going to mention any names because I feel like that would be not nice. And I'm, but your whole being looks positive and being, but internally you sabotage yourself, and it's because of shame. You don't think you're worth anything. And that's your core program. You don't even have a right to exist. And so, your theology, by definition, is always a victim. That's the theology that is transpiring in your temple. And so all of the self-talk is really has that as its centerpiece. It's either a way to rise above it so that, or a way to excuse it and blame it on others. And that's probably enough for today, because I'm sure several of you think I'm talking about you. You may be right. But please hear me. When we say we can have no other gods before me, and when God says it, he's not kidding. And the God that you have before you is the one that you're giving breath to, importance to. And so, now, let's have a true Passover this year. And let's have all those gods be totally and completely marred. So it's time for some real gut level honesty with yourself.
Yeah.
Do you understand that your mind talk is your religion? It defines your religion. It's the evidence of your religion. This isn't the evidence of your religion. Why do you think that God said, the word says that he knows your thoughts? Well, if you think about that, think about what your thoughts are versus the demands of the Word of God, and if that doesn't bring you the fear of God, I don't know, I think nothing will. Because I promise you, your religion is your thoughts and not this book. Your religion are your thoughts. I can't, it isn't our crap. I need Eric J. We have an amazing, this guy is a copy editor like I've never seen before. Anyway, anybody have any response to any of this?
I was thinking about we found out that Freud had, you know, there's some quote where he says, "All I found, you know, inside people's psyche and everything was a Canaanite religion."
Yeah.
It's just
exactly.
Because that's his background was Jewish. So he recognized all this. He didn't really, you know, he didn't like it, I think.
Well, that's why. But what Canaan, remember, Canaan means the trading or merchandising. That's what the word means. And so that's what this thing does. That's why it's the land, that's why the whore of Babylon is the one that's sitting on, because, you know, from God's perspective, there's only two left, the whore and the bride.
In one of, I hear you groan before I even say it, in one of Woody Allen's.
guy that's so funny. He uses a great device. He uses a Greek chorus. The lead character, this Greek chorus pops out of nowhere, follows him through his life, and always telling him what's going on and what's going to happen. And as you're talking this morning, I have no trouble whatsoever picturing this Greek chorus around my desk. You know, and it's similar to what Kevin said. You know, you shouldn't just be sitting there. You should, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And you don't, and just unbelievable.
Yeah, like
message after message after message of you're fucked up. You're fail. You don't have this. You don't have that. They're going to find out you're a phony, you're a piece of shit. It just goes on and on and on and on.
Why?
I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
At least I can see
him. Yeah, but you know why.
No, I don't. You've told me for years I know why. I do not know why. I do not know the origin of...
I'm not asking you to know the origin. I'm asking you to know why.
Huh?
The reason why that it keeps going on is because every once in a while you think you have a good idea and that's what you give breath to.
Not so much anymore. I mean,
okay.
No, I pretty much have come to the point of knowing. Of knowing and saying publicly, I don't have anything.
Yeah, but that's not what your mind says. Your mind says that if I do this and that correctly, then it'll save me from this, what this
well,
is.
Probably, yeah, probably.
And I've seen it because it happens in the moments of your own extreme. That's when what's there comes forth. When you're mad, when something grabs you. That's why we must be willing to be put to the test to find out truly what's going on in the deepest recesses. And it's not just you. I mean,
but it's mostly him.
Well, it's just easy to see in him. But it's so I promise you, if you can't remember your childhood, there's something going on.
I see this mind talk thing like that alligator game at the when the alligator pops up.
With the what?
You know, the alligator pops up.
Hit things.
And you keep having to hit them down. You know,
whack them
on. Yeah, that's like your mind.
Then why do you give it any importance?
I whack them down.
No, but that's giving him importance.
Whack him down.
That's making.
If I don't whack him down, I'm agreeing with
him. No, that's giving him life.
Lock him off.
No, you ignore them. That's the point.
Yeah, well, and underneath that is if you still believe them, then ignoring them doesn't really work. I mean, you have to kind of come. To some point, that's why it's
you have to have a transaction.
It's like it's good to let it out so you can examine it in the daylight and find out that it's not worth believing. Then the voices may still go on, but you don't have to listen to them. But the things that I listen to, the things I still believe. You know, it's like so things have to happen to make those, you know, ideas or whatever they are come out and get exposed, or else I'll just keep believing them even though I'm thinking.
Yeah, this brings up that other.
You're listening to my mind.
Thing about whatever you agree with. You know, if two of you agree, it's touching anything. Well, when you get in agreement with your mind talk, you're off to the races.
What in that agreement with your adversary?
How many people are there?
Yeah, how many? Which one are you talking about?
The ones that I like. The ones that are.
Okay, we've established, we've read Ezekiel 8 15,000 times in 30 years probably. We've established that those 70 elders are false. We've established that their high priest, Jezaniah, is the evil one, the instead of Christ, and we've established that his father is Satan, the beast, the rock rabbit. Now, which one are you?
I'm the chorus leader.
No, that's the point. You can't admit to yourself that you are Jazaniah. You are the evil one. Everything is a deflection. Does that touch anywhere? Or are you mad at me now? Or
no,
both? What is the response?
The real response is, that's true, but I don't want to tell you. I don't want to agree with you.
Because you think that I'm getting some satisfaction out of doing this. Remember many years ago when you said you wanted to be my friend?
Yeah.
The only way you'll ever be my friend is to agree. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I now call you friends because I've told you everything and you're in agreement. You can't keep this separation and ever expect to be a friend or a husband or a father. You've got to come. You've got to deal with it.
I think I have dealt with it.
Then what's going on right now?
What I just told you. I don't understand but then, the mechanics of what's going on.
But then, that don't you understand that's the tell that you haven't dealt with it, that it's just been deflected? I'm not just talking to you.
I guess in my private life, I agree with that. But there's something about this moment with it.
Right. You remember the time? Remember that time that you were silent as a rock for about an hour and a half?
About 8 hours.
Well, I think it was an hour and a half. It felt like eight. Well, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to protect yourself from anything. There's nothing that you have to. There's no requirement except to be. But you've got to be fully and not deflect. That's why I get on you all the time, is because by your words you're deflecting the message. But I'm glad you're doing it because it helps other people see. But it's time for it now. Especially now. We've got to believe in our hearts that this is the last Passover. And so I would beg of you to see it that way. And no more agreeing privately, internally. That's just spiritual. That's just jacking off. You can't have any more private life. That went the way of the wind the moment you agreed to be an elder. I want someone to disagree with me right now. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. Harry, you want to disagree? Any more? You want to talk about Bacchus? Oh, wait, it's a private joke. I can't tell you how important this is, Gary.
This group
scripture we always read in 2 Thessalonians is the day of Christ can't happen, can't come until the son of perdition is revealed.
Right. And revealed doesn't mean I agree privately.
Yeah, something deeper going on here right now.
It's nothing more deeper than that, is there?
Well, for me, I just know what I think.
Okay.
It's almost like, I almost feel like I'm more with you, not with your words, but with you personally.
That's always the case.
Yeah.
That's why all these people, everyone that's left was at war with me.
Yeah.
I did something to them.
And it feels like dominance. It's like if I agree with you, you're going to dominate.
Has any part of 30-year history said I have any interest in dominating you?
No.
So then it...
So that's... And I know that. I mean, that's even in here while I speak. But that's what I'm experiencing emotionally, is if I say, yes, I'm safe or whatever, then it's like I'm... I don't know what the word is.
You lose the contest.
There's you're dead.
Yeah, there's a... I lose.
You lose. You die.
Yeah. And then you're right. I'm wrong.
No, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. This is a deflection. That's another deflection. It doesn't have... And you must have seen it. You know anyone that is left... that everybody is mad at me, right?
Always.
It's not that they're mad at you. I mean, they may get mad at you later or something.
Yeah.
Why are they mad at me? It's because I do this to them. Have you ever, you've been here for 30 some years, have you ever seen me care whether about dominating anybody?
No, I've never been able to put this into words. And, you know, in 30 years, I don't think I've experienced what I'm doing right now in this relationship stuff.
Then you have the word, you have 30 years of experience with us. Forget me as a subject for a minute. Can you understand that you are Jezaniah? Can you say it publicly? That is how you confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men. You don't confess Him by saying He exists. You confess Him by confessing that you're the Antichrist. You're Jezaniah.
I am the evil one.
And it's the same. All of us have to go through this. I mean, I'm not saying you never have, but I'm saying that a part of it has been reserved for you.
Sticking my toe in the water, you know, and say, yeah, it's true. It's cold in there. But
you have to, Gary, you have to face this. You can't let your mind escape it. You have to, it has to be brought totally to the surface. And I think Judy is important. The only thing I want for you is to be free. Amen. Harry?
This last exchange here, I see much more clearly the meaning of if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another. Because I know for 30 years Gary's wanted to have fellowship with you. He's wanted to be what he thinks is friends, but what he wants is fellowship. But that can't happen. I mean, that's what it's talking. Walking in the light isn't. It's renouncing the darkness. It's not like you're the boss and he's going to be your toady. It's you know you're the you're the chief of sinners. You know you're the Antichrist, and you know it. And the two of you know it, you can have fellowship.
Yeah, renouncing the darkness isn't saying, hey, you're darkness, but it's accepting.
Well, you remember when it said, if you deny me before men, when he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Remember that the word deny there is a different word than at Epidemi. This deny means if you dam up. You deny, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you do, or your identity is the wrong. But can you see just for a minute, the thing that I saw in all of this was the long-suffering of God. And how, all of us. Now, I don't know why we have been asked to go this deep in this way, but I know that we have. And I know that you're not just a part of it, you're an elder in it. And I know it doesn't, none of us were chosen because we were smart or good or anything. We were chosen because we were faithful to whatever it is we saw at the moment. And I think there's a core place in you that is afraid you will lose your basic identity if this is, and the opposite is true, then you'll finally gain it instead of working for it. So think on those things.
I was thinking of Jesus saying, if you lose your soul, you gain it. Losing your soul is understanding what you're just talking about. It's like, man, I don't have anything left. I am that Antichrist. There's
no value.
There's no, I don't want to, it's like.
In a very real way, this is come let us reason together. Come let us examine this together in the light and see.
And make your objections. Don't just sit there silently with your voices, your stupid little voices, saying, "Oh, that's what, who, I, who, blah, 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 blah." But you bring it out. That's what a synagogue was in the ancient times. It wasn't the temple. They didn't try to make the synagogue the temple. The synagogue was a local meeting places, and normally in homes where they argued a lot. And that's the whole idea of it. It's the point. Not it, you know, you don't need to. It doesn't take a lot of discernment for somebody to see your judgments. If you're the one, if I'm speaking and I can, you can hear it, you can see it. What the hell? All the words that your mind is saying. It's like, it's not that I know them, but I know that they're there. Anyway. And so why don't you just say them?
Don't hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful for you for being laying down your life for me like that guy.
That was a joke, but I think I meant it. I don't know. As if. I think it's an excuse sometimes.
If you have the power.
Right. Like I'm this powerful being that can really affect change, kill and destroy.
But you worry what he thinks about you.
No, I don't really think I do anymore. I used to. The idea of long fellowship, that used to be something that was for most, but I don't really ever think about that anymore.
Well, I think that that's a lie.
But
that you don't think about it.
It may be a lie.
But it's an honest lie.
Because I believe it.
No, it is an honest lie because you believe it. Because I think this is stuffed in order that you could cope.
Probably is, yeah.
And so the whole point of it is, this is what I've always, the only thing I ever wanted was, that's what it says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another.
And the light is that I am Jack and I. That's the light that I don't want to say. My being resists that.
Yeah.
That's death.
It's like the rock rabbit making himself exposed. You're okay as long as you're hidden in the cave.
It's all very interesting.
Bye. All righty, take it, big guy.